even with the door shut.
That's so funny. Do you know, so I'm from Calgary.
Yeah.
And when I first got to Vancouver, mm-hmm. that sound, like, I mean, we have like magpies and shit in Calgary, but not that level of seagulls. Yeah. And so I was living in Kits and we're so close to the water. So I just associated that with like being by the water. And I'm like, what a lovely sound. This is amazing. So that's my association. I'm like, oh, beautiful, like, seaside.
Reminds me of my childhood.
And everybody else is like, fucking seagulls.
Dude, seagulls are trash.
Seagulls are
the
evil.
Worst bird, dude. No quality. All they care about is garbage and fish.
You should see the ones over by like, over by Whole Foods and Kits. They're fucking gigantic.
Can I tell you, I live by Granville Island and I've had two really sad encounters with seagulls.
Oh, God.
That I'll never forget. Okay, so there's, by Granville Island, there's this market, and I would always work out at the gym there, not bragging, and then I would go to the market and get a nice lunch for myself and eat it outside. But it's risky, because if you eat it outside, the seagulls think you're going to feed them, so they'll hang out. And that's the nice version of what the seagulls do, because one time I bought a plate of, it was like Thai food or something, and I was walking, and a seagull came from above me. It didn't even try to take it. It just flew into the tray. And it decimated the tray. The tray broke in half for real. The food went everywhere. All the other seagulls were ready for it. And they just pounced on it and started eating it. And it broke my water bottle. Like, it was crazy. It was really aggressive.
God.
And then there was like 100 people standing there watching. And this is how bad it was. This is how harsh it was. Nobody laughed at me. They were all
really?
Just like, ooh.
Yeah, ooh. That's horrifying.
That bird was like, look, I don't care if I don't have this food, but this motherfucker's not having
just
this
as long as he doesn't get it in his sweatpants.
Yeah, you know, because they actually like think it's serious. So like, they want to make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wasn't.
Yeah, I've had embarrassing shit happen where it's like, oh, you should be laughing. And you're not. So this
I know.
Is bad.
That's worse. I wish people would laugh almost.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I saw was, It was maybe a year later, and I was out there. This time I didn't have food. I learned my lesson. But I saw this couple, and it was this man and this woman. And this woman was so happy because she was bringing her love an ice cream cone,
aww,
you know? And nice and move. She looked happy, and he looked happy, and they were having this moment. And she was outstretched with the ice cream cone walking towards him. And a seagull flew into her face. Didn't even go for the ice cream.
Oh my God.
Just flew into her face. And she was like, oh! And the ice creams both went on the ground, and then all the seagulls descend.
You know what?
You can't have ice cream, can they? Or can they handle lactose?
That's her fault. Like, she's like trying to create like a movie moment. Like, who puts it out there before she actually get to the guy, you know?
Dude,
she's going, and then
it's that seagulls don't like cheesy bullshit.
Yeah.
That's really the thing. And they also don't like when guys work out. So that's why they went after me.
Oh, true.
I've gotten dive bombed by crow in my neighborhood. Whatever.
It's crows. Crows are rough too. Crows are. I respect crows so much more because they're way smarter than seagulls. Seagulls are idiots. Crows remember your face. They gossip with each other in the community and like, oh, that guy Neil. He died. He didn't throw peanuts, so let's fuck him up next time he walks down Ash Avenue.
Do you know what's funny? Scary. I don't think you're wrong, because I've been attacked by this probably the same guy or the same community of birds twice in the same spot.
The same
gang. To
the
point where now, like, I was, they'll like squawk really aggressively before they kind of dive bomb at you.
Yeah.
And there was like a family, like a mom, her like young kids just chilling out right underneath. And I was like, there's like, I got dive bombed here yesterday. And the mom's like, oh, grabbed her kids and like walked by. And
they
then
know.
The next girl got fucking attacked by this thing. I'm
no way.
Guys.
It sounded like I was kidding about them remembering your face. It's true.
It is true.
Dead serious. They do that. And they do gossip. And if one dies, the next group of them will, how do they describe people so well?
You know what? They fuck with people with long hair, too.
I know.
Yeah. I got stalked just over here.
Really?
I was walking back with a sandwich.
Dude, we should shave our heads.
Oh, yeah, we should. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I have no personality with that.
My hair is everything to me.
It's my will to live.
Yeah.
One time I was walking down the street, and something hit the back of my head, but I always have headphones on, so I didn't hear the squawk, I guess. And I thought someone hit me in the head with a tennis ball. And then I looked up and I saw the crows.
What is wrong with Vancouver birds?
I don't know! And when I tell people about it, like, my girlfriend lives in LA, and I was telling her about it. She's like, what? I'm like, I know. It sounds ridiculous, yeah. but they're scary. And, like, there's a bunch of crows that hang out outside my rehearsal space, and I'm scared because it's just a big open parking lot, and they just swing down at you, yep. and they squawk at you. And one time I was on my way in there, and this one, dove at me a few times, and then it was like, bah! And then I went inside, and I was, like, traumatized, and I was telling everyone, like, oh, my God, this crow, it kept attacking me. And they were like, it's fine. And then we were in there for 3 hours, and as soon as I opened the door, I saw it in a tree, and it was like, bah! As soon as I opened the door.
Yeah, like,
I was like,
you.
Can I have a ride? This is terrifying.
Yeah, me and you were just not built for nature, man.
I don't think so. It's like last week we had Tyler and Lynch on. And
yeah.
They had an argument about who would live in the forest better. Yeah. We'd both die on the way there.
Yeah. 100%. I 100% would not make it.
Yeah. I don't even want to live without Wi-Fi.
No.
I don't even like social media, and I say that. Yeah. I just want to YouTube, you know?
Now I'm especially scared of nature, though, because of my experience there with the hospital.
Okay, this is what happened. Is I saw Neil last week, and I'd been wanting to have you on the show for a while, and then seeing you coming out of the hospital jogged my memory. Why were you at the hospital?
It's so funny. In this time of corona, I was like, I ended up at the ER twice.
Oh my God.
Two back-to-back days, not because of a fever or a cough or anything like that. No, because of a fucking bug.
What?
I was out running, and I got stung by something. I'm like, oh, motherfucker. But I haven't been stung by something in like 20 years, so I have no idea how serious it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is me being a baby, being like, ouch, that really hurts. Or if this is like genuinely... Like,
ooh, I hate wasps.
Right? So like, I don't even remember. And so, it swelled up, and then it went down. Wake up the next day, there's like some swelling, and I'm like, well, that doesn't look great.
Yeah.
Send it to my mom, who's a nurse, send a picture, and she goes, probably keep an eye on it. Whoa. I get to work, and I'm like, well, that's not a great... My mom knows I'm a warrior, so I'm like, that's not a great reaction from her.
Yeah.
I get to work, and one of the girls I work with, she also works as a pharmacist, and she goes, I would maybe go to walk-in after your shift. I'm like, well, also not the reaction I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So I go to a walk-in, and the doctor, he goes, oh, wow, okay. No. I'm like, okay, these medical professionals are scaring the fuck out of me. I'm 3 for 3 for people who are like bad poker face.
That's like if you're on an airplane and the stewards or like the airline attendants look scared. It's like,
yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And it's worse because like naturally, like I'm a worrier, you know? So like, he's like, I'm going to take your temperature. I'm like, well, it's probably through the fucking roof now because I'm terrified by your reaction.
Yeah.
And so he goes, yeah, it's hot and it's swelling. You got to get on antibiotics right away. So I leave the walk-in and I get the antibiotics and, so I take those right away, and it's, nothing's really happening, but it's not getting worse. And then later on in the day, it swells more and more. It starts swelling up my arm. And I go, well, this isn't great.
What was the color like?
It was reddish, pinkish.
Okay.
Not good. Not normal. Yeah. Like, I'm pale, and so it was very much not pale. So I knew there was a problem.
Yeah.
And then it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and I'm talking to my mom, and she goes, maybe you should go to the hospital. And my dad's going, what's the downside to going to the hospital?
Yeah, I love that.
And
he mansplained
it's like, well,
to you.
We should. And he goes, you should just go. Grab a coffee, go to the ER. So I go to the ER, and the triage nurse goes, wow, that is dramatic.
Shut
I'm like,
up,
oh,
everybody.
Oh, no way. Don't you have to take a course to not do that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like and she goes, yeah, you're probably going to have to come back for the next like 4 or 5 days to get IV antibiotics. I'm like,
what kind of bug was this?
Holy shit, right? So I'm going, Jesus Christ, what is going on? And so I'm sitting there just like, swirling in my brain going, oh, what's life with one arm going to be like? Or am I going to fucking die? Overdramatic shit.
That's what I do. I'm
an imaginer.
I'm empathizing.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I sit there, and then the doctor comes over, and this guy was amazing. Like midnight on a Sunday, sensible guy. And he just sits down, and he goes, he doesn't give me the holy fuck, And so I'm like, I already like this guy. And he goes, so your timeline makes sense for like a bacterial infection and cellulitis, and like it's, getting worse and worse, and... But I just don't know. I'm like, okay, well, I don't like that either. Yeah. I would rather you know. And so he goes, can you come back tomorrow? I go, sure. He goes, to see the infectious diseases specialist. I'm like, okay. Oh, wait, that sounds really terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Dr. House, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch that show because I was scared that I had everything.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, I definitely have that thing
now.
Yeah. And so I go back the next day and he goes, yeah, well, okay, it looks like that, but I don't think it's that. I think you got a giant dose of venom from whatever stung you, and just an allergic reaction that you weren't aware you were allergic. And I was like, whoa. So he took the IVs out of my arm and I didn't have to come back. He goes, it's going to swell and it's going to look really fucked up, but you should be fine. And so for the past week, my arm's just been fat. Like, it looks like, you know, those people who ride around in the buggies who are like overweight. You know how gross their ankles look because there's like too much like fluid. That's what my arm looked like.
Oh, my 600 pound arm.
For real. So luckily it started to go down, but it was like,
it looks good
swelled
now.
Up down to.
It looks proportionate.
Yeah. Right?
It'd be hard to get a jean jacket on a really swollen arm.
It's true. You should have seen it that night, though. I look like such a lunatic. I go to bed, and I'm like, I don't want to scratch it, and I have the IV still in my arm because I'm going to have to come back, right? Because they did give me IV antibiotics the first night because they're like, if it is that.
You left the thing in?
They leave it in because they don't want to poke you every time, and there's more of a chance of infection every time you get poked.
Yeah.
So they just leave it in, and they put a thing over it. And so I go to bed that night, and I'm like, how am I going to – I got to make sure I don't rip that out, and I don't – got to make sure I don't itch my arm. So I wrap a fucking T-shirt with duct tape on this arm. T-shirt with duct tape on this arm. You guys are going, why don't you just wear a long-sleeve shirt?
No.
And I'm like,
it'd be easier to take that off. But what I was picturing was in the middle of the night, you wake up, and your roommate's just pouring 2% milk in there. Like, I'm on a diet.
Got to get it in there somehow.
That is wild, dude.
So, it was a very dramatic 24 hours, but I'm totally fine. And so in this time of people, you know, dropping from corona, I almost got taken down by a fucking bug, which is so perfect for my personality because I'm just like way too delicate for the world, you know?
Oh, I am too, dude. I'm too sensitive even for like Twitter right now.
Ugh.
It's just so mean. It's heartbreaking. And then I'll see people who are like jubilant, fun people on Facebook, and they'll post something funny, like nice, you know, like Colin Sharp posts a nice thing, and then just the comments are just this vitriolic, mean people. Oh, it hurts my heart so much. Yeah. Too sensitive.
It's too much.
I wish I think it'd be like sick to be a sociopath. I think it'd be fun.
Right now?
Just anyway, like,
this is the time of their life.
Because I spend a lot of time in my life at home by myself at night. Like, why did that guy say that? That was 12 years ago, but I don't understand. I just, you know, I would never say that. Yeah. Do you do that?
Oh yeah. Well, I used to now. But working retail and doing stand up and being an actor, it's just like you get so like numb to it that I'm like, some stuff will happen, and I'm like, wow, I know 10 years ago that would have crippled me, now less so. Like, even just, you know, the amount of times that I say goodbye to people who are coming in the store as opposed to the other.
I'm like,
oh, that would, like, 19-year-old me would have died.
It's like,
but
now
I'm just like, I just don't have any feelings anymore.
My diary's going to get it tonight. What about, you must have had some sort of meltdown during auditions for acting and stuff like that.
Oh my God! Endless. I remember this is what started me off on the path for a good series of auditions. My first audition when I got out to Vancouver was for 50 Shades of Grey.
Ooh.
Not an interesting part. Dakota Johnson's like coworker at the hardware store. You know, like some bullshit little part. I go in. Casting director has the same last name as me. And it's a small part, and they're auditioning a bunch of people, like a bunch. And so I come in, and this is the middle of her day, and she looks up. She goes, do we have any relation? I'm like, no, I don't think so. She goes, I haven't seen you before. I'm like, oh, I'm from Calgary. She goes, okay. And she goes, okay, let's
it's
start.
Like a hospital. I don't like
I'm like, okay.
Bedside manner.
I get it, though. It's the middle of her week, and then she sees a bunch of fucking actors who are lunatics.
Yeah.
And so I come in, and I go to start the audition, and I get one line in, and she goes, oh, I'm going to stop you. Don't stand with your arms like that.
Oh,
I'm
like, no.
Okay. And then so I go back, and I you know, and then put my arms beside my
back. You don't know how to use your arms now?
Dude, I'm not joking. And so, like, I put them behind my back. She goes, don't do that either.
Oh!
I'm like, okay. And then I do the scene really badly.
Oh, no.
And I left just traumatized. And it's funny that you mentioned that. The amount of times where you don't know what to do with your hands during an audition is insane.
Yeah.
So it's like if you can have any kind of business, it's so helpful because otherwise you're just like...
You just start bringing a Rubik's Cube to auditions.
Yeah.
And you're super good at it.
Like,
this is a character
choice. Yeah. But yeah, so it's been almost exclusively... like not ideal auditions. Oh, really? So the one I was doing last night, which is my voice is a little bit hoarse, was for a show that I had booked before, but they cut the part before we filmed. And this was an audition where, I won't say what the project is, but I go in for the audition and I do it. And the casting director stops me and she goes, ooh, creepy. I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, thanks. She goes, no, you're like really creepy. I'm like, well, I mean, the character's kind of creepy, so yeah, thank you. She goes, no, you. Like, you're like, personally. You're like creepy. I'm like, okay, this is too much. But it was, so it was for the part of like, this was one of two times where I've booked parts for characters named Redneck Number One, as I talk about on stage. Yeah. One was a redneck racist. This one was a redneck rapist. No relation. So I booked this part, and I'm like, this is a crazy scene for TV. Like, this is a scene where me and another guy are like about to rape this girl, and like, then she fights back and stabs me in the nuts. I'm like,
that's not gonna be on TV.
Crazy. Yeah. And then so it comes back. They're like, yeah, they cut the scene before they filmed it. I'm like, no shit. Yeah. What show is this gonna be on? I did such a good job creeping them out that they're like, oh wow, this guy did it right, but this scene can't exist.
Yeah. Your performance was so good, it made them realize that could never make it onto TV.
It's just too real.
It was too much. Yeah. It was too much.
That'd be funny if she was like, no, you're creepy. And you're like, for the audition, she's like, oh, I'm not an agent.
Yeah. No, I'm just commenting on it.
Yeah. I was just walking by and I wanted to talk to you.
That's the way. Yeah. That's the way of things, though. I either book like really good natured, really good hearted humans or absolute human garbage. And like nothing in between. You know what I mean? Because I think like if people get to know me, I'm like a nice, sensitive guy. But then, you know, if I like this is literally all I have to do.
I love that bit you have about just
tilting my head.
Yeah, tilting your head. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I'm like, one of these times people are going to disagree with me on this bit. Never once has anyone been like, yeah, no, you don't look creepy when your head's tilted down, you know? So I've had many of those. And then, but the one last night, so I had to basically scream. I was playing like a protester type guy.
Oh.
So who knows? I think that if I book that, it will not be cut out of the show in the same way that the rapist was. But.
Yeah, it's slightly different occupation, really. But
I keep playing people. I play the TV version of you. In real life, you're like a musician, long hair, tattoos. I'm like TV version. I'm what 14-year-old girls think this is. All you know what I mean? Okay. Just long hair. You know,
they aren't wrong.
Should be. Yeah.
Do you have to like? Do you play an instrument?
Oh God, man. Okay, so here's the best one. So I do play guitar and sing. Uh-huh. Sort of.
Yeah.
And I've owned a guitar for like 20 years, you know, as most guys have. But I play at probably the level of somebody who's 2 years in, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I can sing in a very narrow range. So I booked a musician a couple times, and one of them was this ABC show.
Okay.
And in my audition, they're like, so tell us what you can do musically. I'm like, oh, I can play guitar. They're like, how long? I'm like, 10, 15 years.
Oh, no.
Right? I'm like, this won't come back to bite me. And so we're doing the show, and the first time I recurred on the show, so I'm like, I'm coming back for a second episode. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And I almost have a panic attack on set because I got the scene the night before, and then it was late, and I just couldn't remember the lines, and it was like Friday night. Everybody was itching to get the fuck out of there. Yeah. It's their work week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I get there, and the lines just are not sticking. And I'm in this studio that's paid for by Disney that costs literally hundreds of thousands of dollars a day to run this production. Jeez. There's 100 people around, and I'm just like, I can't remember my lines. I'm like, this is so bad. And then I meet the director, and he goes, hey, man, what's up? He's like, total hockey coach vibe. I'm like, this is not what I need in this moment. I need, like, nice, comforting, feminine energy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and this
yeah.
guy's like, you know, a dude. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. The lines will be there. The lines will be there when they need to be there, right? And then the lead on the show, he was at a lead on another show for, like, 7 years. So this is literally his day job. He's like, we have two scenes left, and then we get to go home.
Yeah.
He's got, like, a newborn. You know, he's like, let's get out of here, right? Yeah. And so they, like, run through the rehearsal once. And the main guy's like, yeah, I think we got it. I think we're good. And obviously he's good. You know, he's kind of, he'll find his way through the scene.
Yeah.
But like, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. And so I'm like pacing around the set, like trying to look normal for the crew, but also being like, oh, I'm not going to gotta remember these fucking lines, yeah. right? And so we get to the first run through, and I'm like literally like. Heart's beating so fast, I'm sweating. Looks terrible on screen.
This
you can see it.
This is making me so nervous.
Right?
I you know.
Can, I swear to God, I'm not a sweaty person at all, but yeah. you can see on the show, I'm like glisteny, you know? So you can, I can see it. And so I finish. So we get through the rehearsal, and I'm like, oh, I made it through. Thank God. I'm like, I think I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
Director comes up to me and goes, dude, you're like, you're really stiff. Just like loosen up. I'm like, oh, this is the last thing that I wanted. You see, that was my energy.
Yes.
So,
oh, no. we
are we good?
Just keep going.
It's okay. It's okay.
Not,
it's not
hitting
gonna get
it too. So
this is literally like that was. This is 100%.
That's a representation of what has happened.
See,
this was that was my psyche. Just
Alexi
all over
is,
the.
Alexi took an acting class, and now she's channeling you.
I'm
serious.
I'm channeling you. I'm like feeding off of your energy. Right now.
I'm Love nervous. It. I am nervous.
So there's all these people around, and I'm just so nervous. And then that put me right back in my head, and I just struggled the whole time.
Fuck.
And
oh,
I just
no.
was like, and they, there's not enough time, so I can't see playback. That's why on my own projects, I'm so much better because I watch myself, and I'm like, oh, that's not what I meant to do.
Yeah.
Let me just do it again and fix that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right? And then when I watch like these completed TV shows, I'm like, wow, I definitely should have done that again or done that differently. That's not how I thought that was going to be.
Yeah.
So I 100% looked stiff, sweaty. Like my performance was terrible.
Wow.
So that was the first time I came back on that show. Get brought back again.
Wow.
And it's a scene on a tour bus. And there's like one line of description. It says the guy's jam, working on a song. And then the one guy's kid who's on the tour bus is coming in to like spend time with his dad. He interrupts our jam session. We're mildly annoyed. And then he joins in. It's like a cute little moment,
Aww.
Right? It's a nice family
it's
moment.
Disney, right?
Yeah, it's a Disney parent company. So, but it's very like wholesome, you know?
Mm.
And so there's just that one line of description. I'm like, oh, I wonder what they're going to have us do. They're probably just going to have us fucking around on the guitar. I'm talking to my buddy who's like a musician. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess I could just like finger pick and stuff. He goes, yeah, that's fine. Night before, the assistant director gives me a call and he goes, hey, Neil, I just wanted to double check that you got the email that the second assistant director sent you with the song and the lyrics and everything for tomorrow morning.
Oh, no.
I go, nope. Look at my email. Inbox is full. I'm a fucking idiot.
Fuck.
She sent it on Thursday. It's Monday night. We filmed Tuesday morning. And he goes, okay, well, I mean, you said you can sing and play in your audition, so we're just going to have you play guitar and sing backup. Vocals for the lead, and here's the song. You should be able to learn it, right? You're pretty experienced musically. I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh, no.
And so he sends me the song, and it's like an acoustic song, but it has like the fastest strumming you can imagine. I'm like, who fucking did this? Who did this? Right? And the guy's voice is like so out of my range.
Yeah.
I tried singing. I'm like, oh no, this is so bad. And so I text the guy. I'm like, hey, can you just send me the guitar tab or the sheet music just so I know what I'm doing? Like, I think I could figure it out, but like, just maybe send it to me as backup.
Yeah.
He sends me the most basic, like C on this part, D on this part. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Wow.
And so I'm like freaking out. It's getting later and later. And I text my buddy, the musician. And I was like, dude, I know you're in class right now, but you need to call me immediately. Okay. This song is completely out of my range. And I definitely told them I can sing and play. Ha ha. A minute later, I get a text back from the first assistant director. And he goes, ha ha. Was that meant for me?
Oh my God.
No.
I'm like, this doesn't happen. This doesn't happen in real life. People don't send the text to the wrong person at this moment. That doesn't fucking happen. Sure enough, because he texted me the sheet music, he was the last person on my text string, and I've been texting with my buddy before that, so I just sent that text. And I'm going, this guy's an assistant director on an ABC show, and I'm like low down the totem pole on the show. What am I going to tell him? It was a fucking prank? Just be like, haha, just kidding. Got ya. You know, like, I'm like, I gotta come clean, I guess. I'm like, no, that was meant for my buddy who's a professional musician. That was meant to be self-deprecating. Don't worry, I can sing and play. Ha ha, no worries. He goes, don't worry, I'm not worried. I go, oh, thank Christ, Jesus, holy shit. But I still can't fucking sing and play the song.
Oh, no.
So
don't worry, I'm not worried is menacing feeling.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And
that goes
and
with,
he was nice.
I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
He was like a nice guy, but also kind of difficult to read. So it was like kind of one of those
that.
Like, oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So anyways, we get to the set the next day, and I'm talking to my mom on the way there. She goes, so, how are you feeling? I'm like, not good, but I don't really have a choice. It's going to happen how it's going to happen. And so we get there, and the other guy in the scene, he's like a professional musician also, and we kind of work it out, slow it down. We talk to the lead, who was like, after Thanksgiving, he's like, guys, I've been drinking wine and having turkey all weekend. I've hardly even looked at the song. I'm like, thank Christ, right? So we're all in the same boat, right?
Yeah.
So we slowly start to figure it out. And then, like, when we actually do it, I'm sure you know, when you sing all out, it's easier than trying to sing in a fucking basement suite and not upset your neighbors, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I finally get it, and, like, I'm sitting right next to the lead of the show, and they're like, pushing in, right? And, like, and I got it for fucking 2 takes.
Yes.
I got it. And I was, like, able to keep it together, and I'm like, that was pretty good. That didn't sound that bad. And then, like, we turn around for the other guys, like, the other guys' coverage, and I was back to being dog shit. Like, completely. Mind you, I'm sitting between these two cameramen on an actual tour bus trying to play guitar like you know?
Yeah.
But I was absolute dog shit. I was like, I can't believe that fucking worked out. Fast forward, like, a month and a half later, the show airs.
Yeah.
Cut the scene.
No!
Cut the scene. I'm watching this episode. It's like near the end of the season, and it's a very heavy episode. And I'm sitting there going, wow, how are they going to fit in this, like, nice, wholesome, happy scene? How's this going to work? Get to the point, I'm like, oh, they cut it.
Oh, my
man. God. That and happens all the time to you guys.
Huh? It's insane. Right? And I was like, unless you're the lead on a show,
so
you don't really matter. It's not about you, you know? Yeah. And so, but it always seems like such a big thing, such a big production while you're doing it. Like, I did this thing in December. I was on set for 12 hours in every time they were running the cameras. Mm-hmm. Again, show airs. They cut my lines and I'm in it for like less than a minute. I was like, this is crazy. I was there for 12 hours. I felt like such a full day. And it's like you tell people, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm in the show tonight.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then
it's like,
oh.
No.
So anyways, that's why I don't have any feelings anymore. That's why, like, embarrassing things, they just don't hit me in the same way. Because I'm like, it can't.
Well, it's such a big part of all of our industries, because Alexi does music too. It's just disappointment is mostly what happens.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, you start to not assume anything, and then you're just okay with doing the job, and then being like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You have the right to what you do and not the result, right?
Yeah.
You got to get to that place or you'll go crazy.
It's so weird, too, because I write for other, like, pop singers and stuff like that, too. And then I'll get, like, a writing split, but the final product
is nothing.
I don't even know why I get a writing split sometimes. I'm like, this has nothing to do with anything that I did. You know what I mean? It's so weird. Right. It's so weird how things mold that way. And I wonder in your industry, I kind of don't get it. It's like, did they not know that they weren't going to use that scene, or was the episode just way too long, so they need to cut something, so that was it? Like,
here's the part that is helpful and frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've made some films, and in every case where, like, I've been cut or the decisions they made, I'm like, it's kind of the right decision.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for the flow of the show, like, that episode, it was like, all heavy. And, like, you can't really know that writing it, because you're like, this is a good scene, you know? It fits in his story arc, but for that episode, it just wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
And so, personally, I'm like, ah, fuck, that sucks. But as a producer and filmmaker, you go,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
I have a theory of why they put that weird rape scene in that TV show. and here it is. So I heard Kevin Smith one time talking about how if you're making a movie and you want it to be a certain rating, you put something wild in there that they're definitely going to be like, okay, you can't have that. And then you take that out, and then you get the rating you want. So maybe that's what they did.
Persuasion tactics.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, we'll bring in this fucking creep to...
Oh, dude. And I went all out, you know? Like, I went, like, denim on denim, camo hat. Like, the six camo.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I took everything that I brought from Alberta and just put it on my body, man, at the same time.
I love that you're from Alberta, but you've talked about how you talk to your mom on the phone almost daily, and you're as sensitive as me. How did I can see why you left.
Well, so here's the funny thing, is that, like, here's a perfect example. When I do stand up here and when I do stand up there, it's completely different. And and any kind of self-deprecating humor, you gotta tailor it to wherever you are.
Yeah.
Like here, I'm like in Vancouver, I'm up on stage, I'm like, yeah, you know, like, I'm a bit of a pussy, and people go, Yeah. You know? But I go out here, I'm like, yeah, but you know, like I'm a bit of a redneck, and people go, yeah, that makes sense. Whereas back in Alberta,
yeah.
I'll be like, yeah, you know, I'm a bit of a redneck. They're like, eh. Yeah. But I'm like, yeah, but I'm a total pussy. They're like, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. There it is. You know what I mean? So to switch like, it.
It's like a different vibe. So I don't fit in Alberta, but I'm like kind of too like rednecky for out here. So yeah. I'm like, this is weird. I'm like, wait, what happened?
Yeah,
I thought I was too, you know, I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I need to be
you're
in
like
Kelowna or
somewhere in between yeah. Vancouver yeah. and Calgary. So if you just went to like Penticton, you'd be the
yeah,
pioneer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I love wine too. So, I mean, I think that would work well. I mean, that adds to it, you know? I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, denim, redneck. Can I get a Pinot Noir, please? You know? It's just like, there's too many confusing variables about my personality.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Do you remember the first time you ever got drunk?
Oh, man. I mean, like...
I'll tell
you. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You.
I'll kick it off because it's really not. It's really so unimpressive. And then the first time I got drunk was on wine coolers with my friends in a tent. And then what we did, I think I was 12 or something. Then we got drunk, and it's like you're sitting there in a semicircle just drinking out of this 2-liter bottle with your friends.
Oh my god.
Of like the
growers?
Peach. Yeah, it was growers.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, this is pretty good. You know, I think I like drinking. And then you're like, I don't think I'm drunk though. And then you stand up and you're like, whoa. And then we went and just walked on top of cars in the neighborhood, and we're like,
oh my god,
just punk asses, you know what I mean?
That's a good story.
It's pretty good. But then the next time we drank, same group of friends, except we're at the one friend's uncle's place and he makes moonshine. So we're like, let's drink that.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
all of us threw up black stuff, which I still don't know what that was. And my one best friend hasn't drank since then.
Wow. That's hilarious. If you have alcoholism in your family, just be like, hey, let's go see Moonshine Uncle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cured for life.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I mean, the first time I really got drunk was probably... I was late. I was real late. I mean, I was like a late bloomer across the board.
Yeah.
But I think I was like 16.
Yeah.
Like I'd had drinks before that, but 16. It was at a hockey party. And it was like one of those ones that was like, there should have been more girls there, but there wasn't. You know what I mean? So it was just yeah. like just all of us dudes
yeah.
drinking when they had like the little Bubba kegs. Molson Canadian, just like dog shit beer.
Yeah.
And I just remember... you know, having like 3 or 4 beers and like just finally inhibitions were gone. And I don't remember certain elements, but like apparently there was one girl there and it was like a guy's girlfriend. I was like, she's the only person here with a vagina. So I just like never lived that down.
Oh, you said that. I thought that was inner monologue.
No. That was outer monologue, baby. You know?
Guys, you know what I just noticed? Let me draw attention to something really quick here.
So, yeah, that was, most of my stories are that, you know?
Yeah.
I drink too much too fast and then have like 30 seconds of like saying weird things or wild things or whatever, and then I just like fall asleep and somebody's nice enough to take me home.
Oh, that's
you know
nice.
What I mean? Like, so it's fine and also not exciting at all.
I love
you
that.
You sent a list of like some things that might produce stories, and yeah. I look and it literally just made me depressed. I'm like, don't have any fun stories about high school. Don't have any fun drinking stories. Every one of them is just like, drink too much, go to bed. You know, like, it's like.
No, that's good though.
So it makes me upset.
I like your auditioning stories. I also want to hear about your movie.
Yeah.
Can you talk about it?
Yeah, for sure.
So here's what I love about it is that when isolation started to happen, everybody had these grandiose ideas of what kind of projects they're finally going to get to, myself included. I'm sure you were like that.
Yeah.
You actually did it. You made a movie. You made a full-length pro-releasable movie where you're the only person in it and you played 18 characters and it's like really good.
See, it's funny because when I tell people about it, they have one of two reactions. It's either, holy shit, that's so cool, or, oh, right? Which is both understandable.
Yeah.
Because when you see it, you're like, oh, it is cool. But like, if somebody says, wow, that sounds like a cringy nightmare, I'm like, I totally get that perspective, because if I had done it wrong, it would have been so gross. And like for me to like put it out there and be like, hey, watch me do this thing, like it would be so awful, right? And so that's why I was so hesitant for so long. But I got a couple people who I trust pretty good to like tell me, and they'll tell me honest opinions.
Yeah.
by low-key bashing other stuff I've done. So I know that it's kind of genuine. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, this is clearly better than that other thing. I was like, okay.
Thanks.
And so I was like, okay, I think I can feel comfortable releasing it now.
It's really good.
So basically what happened was I, like everybody else, I was like, this is an unprecedented time where I can work on like a screenplay. Because I'd done that before, but like with auditions, stand-up, and my day job, that was basically every moment of my time for the past like 4 years.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I have this time and I have all this creative energy. I'm like, okay, I'm going to write that screenplay. I have sort of an idea kicking around. And I had like sort of the first act written-ish and then the rest of it outlined ish.
Okay.
And I kind of, you know, so I'm like writing and I get to this point where I'm like, man, I don't know if this scene's gonna work. Ah, fuck it. I'll just set up my camera and just play the one guy and then play the other guy and I'll edit it together because I have the equipment. I'll edit it together, add a bit of music and see if it plays as a scene. Like see if it plays as a scene.
Yeah.
And you find out, and I'm like, oh wow, I found out that I didn't need that part. Mm-hmm. Found out that that works well. Yeah. That line's a good one. And then I go, huh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The scene kind of works as like a scene.
Wow.
And I was talking to my parents, and my dad goes, this could be a thing. You should do this. I'm like, no, I don't think so.
You have such supportive parents.
Yeah.
Like it.
I love it.
Supportive to a fault. Sometimes, you know, not really, but like my dad's like the idea,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So my dad's the idea guy, you know, like, and whereas my brain's like the doer guy. So my dad goes, oh, you should do this. And my brain immediately goes, oh, but he's a yes and I'm a yeah, but. You know? So like, I'll find all the like logistical reasons why not to do it. So my dad's going, this might be a thing. That was a good scene. You should do this for the whole movie. I go, No, I just wanted to do this as a screenwriting tool. I'm not going to do this for the whole movie. This is a movie about a guy who's trying to leave like a motorcycle club. There's action sequences. There's a bunch of characters. There's like love stories going on. How could I possibly do that? Mm-hmm. But the idea was planted in my brain and that had worked well as like, that was like writing four drafts of a script, doing this one scene.
Yeah.
Start to finish. And I go, could I do this? And I go, well, okay, the first scene is like an action scene. There's a guy on a motorcycle, and then he comes in, and there's sort of this like failed drug deal going on. I'm like, okay, it's a 5-minute sequence. If I can film this, I'll do the whole thing. And so I worked on it one night, played all the characters, and I'd watched enough behind the scenes stuff. I mean, you guys have seen like a lot of behind the scenes stuff. If you see how they do scenes with cars, you know the technique of like there's lights spinning overhead to emulate street lights, and then they've just put the plate on the green screen.
Yeah.
And I go, I wonder if I could do that. If it was like completely dark, and then I add sound effects and I manipulate the lighting, could I make this seem like I'm on a motorcycle? And so I test it out. I look like a fucking lunatic in my place. I'm sitting on the back of my couch, crouched over. This is the camera, and I'm going like this to like block it, make it look like I'm holding handlebars. And then I add the sound effects, add music, do this little lighting trick, and I'm like, that kind of works.
Yeah.
And so I finished that sequence, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna keep doing this as a writing tactic. I don't know if I'm gonna make the whole thing, but I'm like, I'll just keep going until we run out of quarantine time, and I have to go back to work. So I'm like busting my ass, right?
Oh, I get love like this.
This is so
I get,
cool.
I get, yeah. you know, I get through the first act, and I'm like, wow, that actually turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
And then, but I, you know, I've been using temporary songs and stuff. I'm like, I just put it up on Instagram, whatever, right? I'm like, I'm going to have a finished screenplay out of this. I get further along. I get like halfway through. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. This is still going well. And then I just had this one last big push where I just finished the whole thing. And I go, okay, I have this thing. And this is definitely like a cool screenplay. But I'm like, but it's not mine. I have other people's songs in it. I'm like, I can't release it without like copyright claims. And I'm like, fuck, it would be so nice if this was mine. But there's like fucking electronic music that I'd use. There's film score music. There's like amazing like jazz stuff because there's like the contrast between like the like upper class New York City and like the more working class like Brooklyn side. I'm like, there's no way I could create like jazz music, electronic music, and film score. But again, I was like, okay, well, if I can do the opening sequence, I'll just figure out a way to do the rest.
Holy
and
shit.
I had this scene, I had this song that was like sort of a Drive, the movie Drive, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I can recreate that, I'll do it. And so I did it. I'm like, wow, it actually made it kind of like darker and more interesting, the music that I had. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I'd had some film score experience, and I have, like, you know, GarageBand and Logic and stuff. And it's like, there's, it's amazing what you can do. It's, it's astonishing. And so I just, like, figured out how to do the rest and spent, like, a month learning some music theory and, like, how to do it, and then just did it and finished.
Dude, I respect it so much. It's like, everybody talks so much game about that kind of stuff, and you just did it. Like, and everybody talked about things they want to do, and it's weird because I was reading this study about people who talk out loud about their plans, and then they get the satisfaction as if they actually did them.
Yeah,
and it's true. I keep most of my things just in my head, and then I just start doing them. And I love that you got so carried away with the process that you just, you fucking, like, I'm having a hard time finishing a script. You made a whole movie by yourself and did all the music. It's like, it's so cool. Like, I loved Buffalo 66, that Vincent Gallo movie, and I was always impressed. He wrote it and directed it and did the music and stuff. It's like, you took it beyond that. And it's good. It's like, it's good. It's like, I just really think it's really innovative, man. I think it's going to do, like, really good things for you.
It's interesting because it shouldn't be good. You know, it shouldn't. And yeah. But it's funny how, what I realize is that one of my friends said, it's kind of like a book. It engages your imagination in a completely different way because your brain fills in the stuff that's not the human on screen if it's not there. It's like,
but that's better to leave those kinds of things to people's imaginations. Yeah. And this is exactly the kind of thing that should, and I think will, kill it at film festivals. Like, you have to do that, I think. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's so impressive, dude. I'm like so blown away by it. It's crazy. Before you got here, Alexi and I were talking about making music, and I was kind of talking about how the format people assume that you make music, it's not the one that works for me. Because I'm a producer, but I'm a singer, and I can play some instruments. So the way I do it is, like, I just start making a piece of music, and then that compels me to make the rest. And I usually don't even write anything down. I'll just try some things and then edit it, and if it feels good, then I'll just move on to the next part. Mm-hmm. But that's not traditional. Usually people write all the lyrics and all the... It's like, I don't like doing it that way. It's like, boring to me. I could never, like, sit down with an acoustic guitar and write a whole song. Like, that just seems like everyone's done that. So it's not, feel, doesn't feel unique to, like, my skill set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like what you were doing, where you didn't just sit down and just write the dialogue. You're like, oh, what if I did this here? And then actually that would make the next scene make more sense. And it's like what we were talking about. It's like, if you, it's like, lyrics can be hard, but if you just stop getting in your own way and just lay something down, because a lot of times you'll write something and be like, oh, that doesn't make sense to the rest of it. You don't know that until you write the next line.
Exactly.
So I'm assuming that's probably kind of how it went with your thing.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because, like, the writing more gets in the way for me, because, like, I'll overwrite the shit out of stuff. And that's that was my biggest problem early on in stand-up. I would overwrite the shit out of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But when you do it and then you edit it, you go, so clearly see what is needed.
Yeah.
You don't, but you don't know that until you're doing it.
Yeah.
Until you're doing it. And so it's like, it just removes that thing that kind of slows everything down.
Totally.
And you just get to the good stuff faster.
Wow, man. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking, Neil's a great actor, and so I want to do something unique. So we're going to do something from our mutual favorite movie, 1991's Thelma and Louise.
Okay, now listen. Let's not get caught.
What you talking about?
Let's keep going.
What do you mean?
Go.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Hit it.
Hey!
And scene.